Your love is greater still. Your love is greater still.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all that you've done for us, for your mercy, for your grace, for your forgiveness. Father, I pray for a special anointing this morning as Sean comes and shares that through him you would speak to each and every one of us. Father, that you would empower him this morning to share all that you've done for him and all that you're going to do. Father, may our focus be so intently on hearing from you this morning, hearing your voice speak to us individually. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Is anybody else hot besides me? Can someone flip down the air for us? I'm like starting to drip over here. My makeup's melting. So many of y'all know Sean. Sean's going to come up and share with us. He was supposed to come back 4th of July weekend and it didn't work out and, had to go to work. And so, I told the people last night that I was hanging out with my brother-in-law. Sean's went to, church in Huntington with Travis for years. And so he lives up in Northwest Arkansas now, but hoping to get back down here. But Travis always says Sean is the wittiest, funniest guy he knows. And so I told him last night when I introduced Sean, I'm going to say he's the wittiest guy Travis knows. Now, I don't know about that, but so now I set the bar high here. So,
now
I'm
going to make you laugh.
Yeah, and so anyway.
Hello, can you hear me? My name's Sean. I'm from around these parts. If you can't tell, yeah. So by my accent. But anyway, I've been meaning to get down here for a while. I've been wanting to share a little bit about kind of what God's done for me, and this place has actually been a big part of where I'm at today, and that's why I've been trying to get down here and get to share that chapter in my life. The word says that we overcome by the power of blood, or by the blood and by the power of our testimony. So there's power in your story. That's what I want to get across today. There is power in your story. You don't have to slap 12 grandmas and smoked all the crack in the world to have and overcome that to have a powerful story. Okay, that's what we hear a lot in testimonies, especially the background that I just came from. I've recently worked at a ministry called Team Challenge, Adventure Ranch. Amazing place. I'm not just saying that. I'm not going to say I've never, but it was a privilege to have worked beside a group of people that truly commit their lives to seeing people changed and transformed and just give their lives up for it. Like on the front lines, I'm not playing. The compassion, commitment, and integrity that this ministry holds is something to admire. And I'm grateful to have been a part of that. I've learned a lot. It grew me. It stretched me, because we dealt with teenage boys. It's a rehab, like mental health boarding school / rehab for teenage boys, and they don't want to be there. So yeah, it wasn't all butterflies and cupcakes and Disney Channel moments, you know, where they go, "You can do it," and then they're like, "I can do it." No, there wasn't a lot of that going on. But we've seen a lot of people transform, you know, when they come in and when they leave. You know, it's a very fulfilling thing to be a part of. But if I have to be honest, I'm glad God has moved me, you know, starting to transition me away from that. It's tough work. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, testimony. So there's power in your testimony. There's power in my testimony. That's what I want to get on. Your testimony should be put, your story should be pointing people to God. If it's not, fix it. I don't know how to say that. You know, we can get in our testimonies a lot. We can get in our stories, and they kind of look what I've done. You know, look at what I've accomplished, and the glory can somehow kind of come back to us. I don't have any success apart from Christ. There's nothing good in me away from God. And I realize that. And the Bible says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. To me, that means blessed are those who know they need God. Do you know that you need God? I hope you do by the end of this story. Anyway, so make sure your story is pointing people to God. Make sure your story is inspiring hope. It's got to be pointing people to Christ. It's got to be inspiring hope. You've got something to say. You've got a story to tell. You've got some sort of connection that you can make. Your story may not be my story, but you have some sort of connection that you have. You have something to offer somebody. Okay? But anyway, I grew up in Waldron. Anybody here from Waldron? Anybody? I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I'm pointing out like that. So, yeah, pretty rough part of the woods down there. I'm trying to think of where to start, actually. I grew up pretty rough. I didn't grow up in the best of homes, but we've all heard that. And I'm not playing victim, just trying to paint a picture here. I was about 13 years old. Parents were real rough. I have to remind myself that my parents weren't raised right. My parents weren't taught right. They were just real rough, just real, outlaw type, not gang members or anything like that. But you know somebody out there like that, the real rough type. So you can't pick who your family is, right? That was mine. So I was about 13, and my parents got me hooked on drugs and alcohol, at an early age. And I walked down those roads very lost, got into a lot of trouble, all that good stuff. But I walked lost, and I created a lot of bad habits for myself, over the years. Coming up as a young man, not having very much guidance. Just the values that I was taught were horrible. Like looking back, I'm not going to say a healthy brain, but now that my brain is healthier, I can look back and be like, what was wrong with you? What was wrong with you guys? Like, y'all were horrible people. But God's dealing with me about that, so be praying with me. I think I was about 19 when I started encountering God. I started giving it some thought. I wanted to be different. I was tired of getting in trouble. I was tired of, falling into the same cycles and the same cycles and all that kind of stuff, not getting nowhere in life. So I tried the God thing, but I couldn't ever shake the drugs and alcohol. I'd do good for a while, and then I'd fall away, and that was my life for a long time. I'm trying to speed up because I want to get to the good part, and I don't want to keep you very long. So anyway, that was my life for a long time, back and forth, doing that kind of stuff, doing good, doing bad, doing good, doing bad. You can only imagine how that went. I finally got married. I got married, and I really tried to screw my head on straight and do what was right. I got plugged in at the church that we were just talking about. Worked my way up to deacon. Woo hoo! Not trying to brag or anything, but I was doing that, and we were serving. But looking back, I always just tried to do the do's and don'ts. I was just trying to be moral. I was just trying to be a good person. I wanted to change my reputation. I wanted to be different, but I didn't know how, And secretly in my heart, I still wanted to, drink and stuff like that, I still wanted to do that kind of stuff, but it always get me in trouble, so that's why I tried to stay away from it. And I was using God and the Bible and church and serving as a crutch, to kind of keep me away from it. But deep down in my heart, I still really wanted it. So around that time, I was doing really good. I was doing pretty good. I'd have a mess up here and there. And ministry's hard. It's tough work. And it required a lot of sacrifice from me and my wife to pour ourselves into the church and stuff like that. And I wanted away from it. I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, I don't want to do this no more. This isn't the rainbows and butterflies I thought it was going to be. This isn't glorious. This is hard. Pouring into these kids and pouring into these people, this is tough work. I got to hurry up and get off work. I got to do all this stuff. But we did that for a long time. And it just kind of wore us thin. And so we gave it up. We gave it up. And slowly but surely, there's a lot more detail than that, but slowly but surely, I started falling back into some of the same old habits that I was doing. Kind of lost my accountability. I started focusing on my career. Started focusing on my job. Started focusing on me. Me, right? That'll get you in trouble. Turning inward will get you in trouble. It's a trap. I promise. But anyway, so that's what I did. And I was slowly but surely falling into the same old trap. And my wife, she got tired of fighting it, you know. Tired of telling me no and everything. So finally she just gave in. She's like, whatever, do what you want to do. And then for the first time in my life, I felt like a responsible, like, alcoholic. I was like, I can do this. I don't have to ruin my life. Like, I can be like everyone else. You know, I could drink on the weekends and whatever. But Satan roams around like a roaring lion looking, seeking who's, getting all the scripture all messed up. You know it. Hopefully you know it. He wants to devour us, steal, kill, and destroy. So anyway, I got to move up. Moving along, and it wasn't too long after that, the enemy kind of came into my marriage and just infiltrated my family and just really kind of tore it apart, you know, got to my wife, got to me, and before I knew it, we was fixing to get divorced, you know. I'm like, how'd I get here? I don't know if any of y'all ever been in that situation, like, I mean, how'd this happen? How'd I get here? Comes with compromising what's right. Anyway, so I remember telling her around that time, I said, you know what, let's just get through the holidays, because it was around Christmas time. It was around this time, like 2 years ago or something. Maybe a little longer now, I don't know, I had to sit down and do the math. But anyway, so I said, let's just get through the holidays. Let's just get through the holidays. I don't want to be with you, you don't want to be with me, I don't care, whatever. Ugh. And then it was that night that I got really, really drunk. And I took it further than just drinking. And I had some issues back when I was around 19 with meth. And I shook that away for a long time. And I was just drinking and, like, smoking weed and stuff like that. But that night I ended up saying, F it all. Screw it. What's the point? All this different stuff. And I ended up doing some that night, and she called the police, and then her sister was, it was a mess. I don't want to get into it all. But she ended up leaving me, and she was going to divorce me, and man, all I could see, all I felt like I was in this dark room, and just Satan just shutting the gate on me, and just like this spotlight, you know, on me, like, I got you, I trapped you. And you know what was crazy is, like, there was this little small voice in me that whole little season that was like, what are you doing? You idiot. Like, stop. You know where this is going to lead. Oh, no, I'll beat it this time. I'll win this time. No, I'm different. I'm different. I'm responsible. It won't hurt me. That only happens to other people, not me. So, but it did for me. So it shut it on me. And that couple of months, I went pretty wild. If you ain't never been on drugs and you're on meth, like, somebody can tell you that the FBI is out in the bushes and you'll believe them. You'd be like, what, really? Is the FBI really? Right. So when the thoughts are coming to your head, like, you ain't no good. You ain't, you know, you keep screwing up. You'll never get better. Man, you might as well just kill yourself, man. You might as well just take your life. You just hear that over and over again. You're just doing more drugs, because it helps for 10 minutes. And you just keep getting sucked in to the point where you're just so broken and desperate. And you're just walking down that road. And I did that for a while. And this church opened up to me. That's the part I want to get to. And Pete reached out to me and a couple other people reached out to me about, man, come stay here. Come stay here. And I was like, man, I didn't want to come here because I was high out of my mind. I was out of my mind. I was broken. I was out of my mind. I don't even know if any of y'all know this story. Maybe he announced it a few times a couple of years back. Like, hey, there's a crazy man living in the, like, everybody just leaving. Nah. Here's his pictures. Just do it. Nah. But I was in a bad state of mind. I was in a bad way. I was staying in motels and stuff like that, and I was just so alone, just trapped with my own thoughts and just being tortured, just, you know. And I thought, anything's got to be better than just staying in these motels by myself. So I started running with some of my old friends, you know, some real rough guys, and getting back into that, you know, old life. And I was just different. Even through that, like, I don't know, like, I was like one of them alley cats that got all fattened up and pampered and thrown back into the rough life. And I'm like, I'm not made for this anymore. I'm like, get that gun out of my face. Like, but so anyway, I was running with this guy for a while, and, you know, it was crazy, but it was like God kind of worked something out. And you know, he was a good dude, you know. He kind of reminded me, he was a little bit younger than me, and he kind of reminded me, and it was a sad situation. And but anyway, I was all messed up. So, but this church opened up to me, and I didn't want to come here because I thought the drugs were helping me. And I just was so broken. Like, I was like, I didn't want to be around anybody. You know, I was like, you don't need this mess. I'm not your problem. Like, and I really didn't plan on making it out of that season alive. Like, I was scared to take my life, but I remember being so broken that I was trying to work up the courage. Because I was just so beaten down with my thoughts. I was so beaten down just believing those lies and everything. And some things happened. I ended up coming to stay here, and Pete prayed with me, and, you know, people were praying with me. I was hard to handle. I was a mess. I was losing my mind. Like, I mean, I don't know if y'all know Cordell. I spent a lot of time with this guy up the road named Cordell, and I drove that dude. That's probably absolutely mad. I mean, I was up and down all over the place. I'm going to die. Okay, God's got me. Oh, this and that. Step on it. You know, like, I was in a bad way. And I started staying here, and I was coming down bad, and I was depressed. And I remember Pete praying with me, and, you know, and this church, you know, housed me and fed me and gave me a church van to drive and put gas in it, and, you know, probably did everything backwards that you're not supposed to do to a drug addict. And, you know, and they did it and loved on me and cared for me. And I stayed here for about a week, and I ended up leaving and relapsing, you know, let me come back. You know, I didn't come here. I didn't do drugs here or anything like that. I knew enough about it. I ain't going to do that. So I wasn't going to do that, but I did come here all, you know, messed up and stuff. And I remember what happened. It snowed. This is back when it snowed. And I basically got trapped here. I couldn't leave. It was snow. There was like 2 feet of snow on the ground. And I was stuck here for like 2 weeks. It was probably one of the best things that could have ever happened to me. I couldn't leave. I couldn't do nothing. And through that time, it was like spiritual medicine for me. And I just really started throwing myself on God. Because I used to just like would seek God enough to get what I wanted. You know, oh, I'm doing better. Like, you know, everyone see? And then I could get what I wanted or whatever. But I remember making the decision around that time that it didn't matter if my situation was going to work out or not. I was going to live for God. It was like this light bulb came on. It was so simple. Have you ever been working on something for a really, really long time? And then like you like flip a switch or you do a bolt or something and you're like, oh my gosh, it was there the whole time. And I remember when I made the decision that I was going to live His way 100%. I was going to be, and it was like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start living your way 100%. And then this joy just came over me. Like this, like it was right in front of my face the whole time. Like, I can't compromise no more. It's got to be your way 100%. And then I'm on my journey of still figuring that out and what that looks like. You know? But I was supernaturally delivered from drugs here. Drugs and alcohol. People ask me all the time, like, well, what do you do? Like, what do you, you know, I've heard people say that, oh, I've been supernaturally delivered from drugs and alcohol. I'll be like, yeah, but, you know, what are you really doing? You know, like, what's your secret? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not even trying. I'm not saying that like cocky or whatever. I'm just like, I just don't want to do it no more. Like, I don't know how to explain to you. I'm not doing it. There's nothing put in place that doesn't make me not want to do it. You know, and I've always heard people talk like that, and I always thought like, that's kind of a myth. You're probably working the 12 steps, or you're probably doing something. But I'm not saying I'm perfect. I still fall, I still fail, but I don't fall and fail where I used to. I'm still climbing the mountain, but I'm falling up on the top of it. I ain't falling down here, right? So that's what God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for progress. And I can look back and say that my life has progressed. And this church and this body here was a big part of that time. I just went back and tell that story. And I got clean, and my wife took me back, and you know, and all that different stuff. And it was still a lot of work. And I remember getting home, and it was a lot of work getting her trust back and all that different stuff. As God was working some things out. And then God told me to go work at this place called Teen Challenge. Actually, I was like, I got to go find a job. Started looking for a job. And nothing would work out. And I was like, why ain't nothing working out? And I was going to a job interview, and I'm trying this thing called being spirit-led. Very hard thing to do. I'm not just trying to be moral anymore. I'm not trying to have behavioral modifications. I'm trying to be spirit-led. God, lead me. God, speak to me. Speak to my heart. I can't make it without you, Lord. So I go to this job interview, and I was like, I got to go home and seek God. And I was like, but what's my wife going to say? She's going to think I'm not trying. She's going to think, oh, man, I've got to. I went home, started seeking God. I started looking up ministry opportunities. I was like, man, I got to do the will of God in my life. I got to start, man, I got to do something. I got to serve the Lord. So I started looking up ministry opportunities, and this thing came up, Teen Challenge Adventure Ranch. I don't know if you've ever been reading the Word of God where it kind of just jumps out at you. Am I holding that too far down? I've been guilty of that before. So where the Word of God just jumps out at you, just comes alive to you, right? That's kind of what happened here. And I was like, I've only heard God like 3 or 4 times where I was like, I know I heard God. To the point where it's intoxicating because you have so much clear direction. You're like, I don't care what anybody else has to say. God told me to do this thing. Now, most of the time it's more like, I think God's saying this. Like, you know, and it kind of just works out. And sometimes it don't. You know, but God gives us grace. Amen for that. So anyway, it jumped out at me. And I remember, like, people trying to support me. They're like, sure, God told you to go work with teenage boys. And I was like, dude, I'm telling you, man, God's going to make a way. And, of course, when God speaks to me, I think it's going to happen, like, tomorrow. So I call them up, and I'm like, hey, God told me to come work here. They're like, who are you? Who is this? Like, I mean, I was excited. I was like, we got to get this thing going. So I did a couple of interviews and stuff. And I remember people thinking, like, yeah, you know, I don't know, yeah. But anyway, it worked out. I'm fast forwarding. It worked out. And lost my train of thought. So I got the job. I remember going to my interview, and they were asking me, like, what kind of qualifications do you have? I was like, on paper, I don't have anything. I'm just a kid from the sticks, man. I'm like, I don't know. yeah. And I was like, I'm loving Jesus. I want to give back and everything. And so they ended up hiring me. I remember how excited my wife was. And I went through that journey, and, man, that stretched me. That challenged me. They call it Teen Challenge for a reason. It's not just for the clients. It's for the staff and everyone. But, man, that place changed me so much. And I was glad to be a part of that. And I'm thankful for y'all in this body. And that's really all I want to say. And, you know, y'all, this body has a connection to where I'm at. Like, I mean, I got my GED. Like, I'm going to the military. You know, I never thought in a million years I'd ever, you know, have an opportunity to work at a place like that and to be connected to a place like that. So, and I'm excited to see what, you know, where God's going to take me. But your story has power and has a chance to inspire people too. So don't forget that. Pete, I'm done. Go. Thanks, guys. Here's your
I told Sean, I said, I didn't even think like to ask, how long are you going to talk? and he said, I don't know. I'll just get up there. But this morning I was just praying and I didn't write anything down. But this verse, kept coming to my mind, and cause I didn't write it down. Let me look here real quick. 1 Corinthians 2:4, it says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And I just kept thinking about Sean, and, you know, a lot of times when we think of the miracles of God, we think of someone dramatically healed from cancer or a sickness or something we think of all these great and wonderful things as demonstrating the power of God, but really what demonstrates God's power more than a changed life? And to see a life truly changed. And I remember the night that we prayed for Sean, and I remember Cordell was there with me, and I think someone else was with me, but Sean told me his marriage was over and everything, and like he said, I'm telling you, Pete, it would take a miracle of God. It would take a miracle of God. My wife is so fed up with me. I've failed so many times. She's done. And I said, don't look at that. But I prayed for his wife's heart to begin to be softened. And Cordell was there and Sean was there, and we was praying. And God did that miracle, y'all. It was God. God did the miracle. The power of God is so mighty and so great. And, you know, me and Sean was visiting just a few minutes before church started. And I'm sure he would share with you, the miracle of God in his life, delivering him from drugs, restoring his marriage. He still has problems. He still has struggles every day. And I told him, I said, you know why you're having so many struggles? Because Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy each and every one of us. But God's power in our life can do so much more if we would rely solely upon Him. And I love his testimony about how it was just the moral. That's the first time I've heard his testimony presented like that. But just trying to be morally right. But that desire inside was still not there. But what God can do, church, what the power of God, it's not with the words we speak, it's not with the great mighty sermons, but it's our lives being transformed that's the greatest power of all. And people seeing that in your life, who you once were and who you are now. Not everybody's going to have a testimony like Sean. Thank God. But your testimony is unique, and your testimony is different than everybody else's, and God can use your testimony. Maybe you've never been a drug addict. Maybe you've never robbed a bank or done some great big supposed sin. But you still need a Savior. You know, it's amazing to me. I was telling my wife this week how I've been seeing God work in someone that we know's life. And I said, they don't even realize it. I can see the change in their life, and I don't even think they realize how God is moving them and transforming them. And it's just in little things. Do you need the power of God in your life today to transform you? Is there something that's been weighing you down? Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's an addiction of some kind. There's power. There's power in Jesus Christ. There's power in the Word of God if we would surrender completely to Him. Let's stand. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You for what You're doing in Sean's life. And Lord, I pray that You would continue to watch over him and his family. Lord, as the struggles come, as the trials come, may he stay so focused upon You and throw off any sin that's entangling him. And Lord, may the rest of us do the same. If there's anything that's tripping us up in our lives today, if there's a desire, if there's a want, if there's something that we know that's not of you, Father, as we cry out this morning, would you deliver us? Would you transform us? May we know the power of God in our lives, that we can live that righteous life, and that people can look at our lives and just know there's something different about us. May you watch over each and every one of us and our families and our friends. May you protect us. May we not trip up anymore, but may we walk in victory. That you would receive the glory, Father. It's not us, but that you would receive the glory. And when we testify about all that you're doing, Lord, we can say, look what the Lord has done. Father, thank you for Sean. Thank you for this church and this body of believers. And thank you for what is yet to come. Father, I believe you got great things in store for each and every one of us. Father, may you give us the power, the boldness to speak of what you've done at work, at the stores, in our homes. And may we stay so focused upon you. In Jesus' name, if anybody needs prayer for anything this morning, if you need a fresh touch from God, if you need to feel the power of God, these altars are open. I'd love to pray with you.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder, to take away my sin.
I just want you guys to think. I don't want you guys to stop up there, but I want you to think. How many of you have ever had to be in such a low state for God to get your attention? I have. Like, I've had to blow it so bad and cause so much hurt, cause so much pain. And it's like, why do we get to that point before God gets our attention? We think, like Sean was saying, I can handle it now. I'm okay. But God, it's like sometimes we just have to hit rock bottom. And I just feel like this morning that don't wait to hit rock bottom to get your life right. To cry out to Jesus and allow His transforming power in your life. Don't say something terrible happening. Don't be like, can I say this? Don't be like Sean. Where you feel like your only hope is almost suicide. Where you're homeless. I praise God for what He did in Sean's life, but God is there to catch you right now before you fall that far. And so as we sing one more stanza, I just feel like someone's holding on to something in their heart. Give it to God right now. Lay it at His feet. Ask Him to forgive you and to take that desire, whatever it is, away.
When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to Thee. how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Thank you, Sean. What a powerful testimony, and I'm so grateful for all God's done in your life and all that He's going to do in your life. If anybody needs to talk, I'll be here for a while. Sean, he'll talk to you too if anybody needs. He's probably got more practice than me over the last couple of years with all them boys and counseling and talking and everything. And so don't wait. Watch how God can move in your life. Good all tonight, and we will see y'all at 6 o'clock this evening. God bless.